La radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
Welcome back to What's a Fact on Radio Color. How are you? Well, this is What's a Fact, and this is Manuel García on the mic. And you know, let me introduce to my colleagues. Okay, here on What's a Fact number 15. Right, today's the 15th program. All right, so Anna, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Okay. And Agus?
I'm okay, Manu.
Welcome back. Okay. And look who's back with us. It's Brenda.
Hello, baby.
We've missed you.
Oh, I missed you too, guys.
Okay, good. Brenda, by the way, where can you find us?
Oh, yeah, we can find us at radiocolor.es. Mm-hmm. That's in the internet. Mm-hmm. And 106.2 FM. Uh-huh. That's in the radio station.
Mm-hmm. And you can also find us on Facebook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good. So what's the facts, or what do we have today? Today we'll have our grammar section, as usual. Then some grammar and common mistakes, I mean. Then we'll see some false friends. Then we'll see some more idioms as well. And what's the fact today? Well, we're going to be talking about cinema, okay? We like the cinema, and you know, we'll comment on it. All right, I think it's going to be interesting today.
Yeah.
Right, so if we're all ready, let's get started, okay? So let's get started with grammar. All right.
Okay.
Today we're going to focus on collocations. You know, in case you don't know what a collocation is, it's very simple. It's just two or more words that collocate together, that usually go together. Right. Mm-hmm. For example, we don't usually say mobile handle. We don't say, there's nothing like mobile handle, but there is a collocation like door handle, because they collocate together, they mm-hmm. sound good together, yeah. Right? So those are collocations, and actually you can use two nouns together. You can have a verb and a noun, mm-hmm. a verb and a preposition, even two verbs. They're different combinations, okay?
Yeah, this is sometimes very confusing, because people mm-hmm. don't understand, because sometimes those two or three words really doesn't make any sense mm-hmm. if you want to translate them into Spanish.
Yeah, because Spanish collocations don't have to be mm-hmm. Similar, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's why we need to learn them. And for those who are studying for the Cambridge exams, for example, there is the sometimes there's the use of English section, and for the use of English, collocations are essential. You know, you need to know as many as possible. Okay. Right, so for example, today I would like to comment on verb collocations, right? We're going to talk about take, break, and catch. Three mm-hmm. very common verbs, okay? And let's see, you know, what they collocate with, right? Typically. Right, so let's start with take, okay? Mm-hmm. Collocations with take.
Yeah, for example, take a break. It's mm-hmm. very common, like you want to rest mm-hmm. or maybe take a break from work and go on a holiday. Take a chance, take a look, echar un vistazo, mm-hmm. take a rest, take a seat, it's the same as sit down, and we usually say take a seat. Take an exam, take notes when you want to write something down, take someone's place, and also take someone's temperature. Maybe if you have,
maybe children, like you fear that they might have a temperature, and you take the temperature. Okay, fine. Let's see another another group of collocations with break this time. So, Anna.
Yeah, so this one collocates with a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. So, for example, we have break a habit. So this one is to try and stop doing something, maybe something bad or something unhealthy. Also things like break a leg. So if you break a bone. And this one was also like an expression to break a leg, is before, what you say.
Before you, you perform at a theatre play or something like that.
It's like similar to saying like good luck or do well. Break a promise. So if you, you know, maybe say something to someone that you shouldn't. Break a window. Break somebody's heart. Break the ice. So this one when... You know, maybe you've met someone for the first time or you're in a situation with new people, you have to break the ice. Break the news to somebody. So when you have to tell them something important, and also break the rules too.
Okay, thanks very much, Anna. Okay. Right, and let me talk about catch, okay? Collocations with catch. You know, you can catch a ball or you can catch anything that sort of flies to you, you know, something that moves, you catch it. So you can catch a bus, okay, or a train because it's in movement and, you know, you can catch it. You can catch a cold, okay? It's the same kind of image. You can catch a thief, okay? But I think it's very clear. You can catch someone's attention, okay? In Spanish, we would say llamar la atención de alguien, okay? So it's kind of similar. Or you can catch someone's eye. That's the same. That's exactly the same, right? Like the other day, I was walking down the street and she caught my eye. I looked at her and I found her, you know, pretty or whatever. Okay. Yeah. Or you can catch the flu. Okay. Or any other illness. Okay. That would be you know, the collocations for today. Now, let's see a couple of false friends, okay? So, Agus, please tell us about the first one today.
The first one is going to be rope. It is written R-O-P-E, so it looks like ropa, but it doesn't make sense, it's not the same at all. Rope means cuerda, and we have to be careful because when we talk about rope, we can, in English, we can distinguish between a rope and a string. String is a thinner one, the one that are in guitars or violins instruments, so it's thin. And rope is, you know, the sailors uses ropes.
Ropes, yeah. Thicker one.
Yeah, thicker one.
Yeah, and so how do you say ropa then?
Clothes.
Sorry, ropa, like a big clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now, the next one is vase. Okay, that's V-A-S-E. Okay, it looks a bit like vaso, but everybody knows that vaso is not that, okay? Yeah. Vase is es un jarrón, okay? It's where you put the flowers, okay? Yeah. And but I say vase, and Anna would say vase. how about you, Brenda?
I am the rebel. I would say vase. That's the way people pronounce it in the back in the USA. So, but it's the same. It's just that we put flowers, for example, inside of it.
Instead of a vase or a vase.
A vase,
Very good. And how do you say vaso in English?
Glass.
It's a glass, okay, a glass of water. Okay, good. And finally, Brenda, tell us another one, please.
For example, sane. Maybe in Spanish we might think that it means sano, which is not. Sano would be healthy. But sane actually means cuerdo. And the opposite would be insane. Maybe have a mental illness and you need medication and everything. So sane, es cuerdo, insane, pues...
Pirao.
Well, enfermo mental, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so
but maybe when you do something crazy, maybe I could yell at you like, are you insane?
Like, for example, Brenda looks a little bit crazy, but then we know that she's sane. Like,
deep down, yeah.
Okay.
I know you guys love me.
Of course. Right, so that was it. That was it for the grammar and for the false friends. Now, I think it's time for you to listen to some music.
Great.
Okay. With an idiom, as usual, right? So, Agus, what are we going to listen to today?
Okay, today we are going to listen to All That Jazz. It's a song from the movie Chicago, and a musical movie, and I'm sure you're going to like it. And if you don't, I'm sorry.
Six, seven, eight.
Yeah!
Wow, that was really energetic, energizing. Okay, yeah. Well, it must be a great film. Okay, which I have not watched.
I did,
but Brenda has.
Yeah, me too. I strongly recommend it to you.
Okay. I've seen it like 4 times. I don't like musicals very much, but this one, I think it was a very good one. Actually, it won the Oscar as the best movie in 2003. And Catherine Zeta-Jones, she also won her first, and I think her only, Oscar for that movie, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a great year for them.
Mm-hmm. I think she's really good in that film,
yeah.
too.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's from Wales.
She's
Welsh.
She's a criminal, and she wants to be famous. There are two girls in the movie, Velma Kelly and Roxy Hart.
I remember that song.
Yeah, and they commit like a passional crime, but they also want to be famous. They want to be like in the newspapers, and they want to be rich. Who doesn't?
Okay, maybe we can talk a bit about the idiom.
Mm-hmm.
So the idiom actually comes from the play itself. So it was a play, like a theatre show, and then they made it into like a movie. But basically what the expression means is you can use it when you're speaking to mean and similar things. So I think a lot of times it's used in like a list when you're speaking. So for example, if you were talking about a shop, you could say the shop sells televisions and radios and all that jazz. So it just means and lots more things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's quite common for people to use. Mm-hmm. And also where I live at home, there's a shop called All That Jazz.
Really?
Yeah. Because they sell like everything. So, yeah,
that's nice.
Is that something that you would use in a formal writing, for example, Anna?
I think maybe it's a little more informal, to be honest. You'd hear it maybe in a normal conversation, maybe sometimes, but probably not in a formal piece of writing.
Yeah, doesn't sound very formal,
no.
Does it? Okay, very good. That's it. Now, because all the jazz is a music idiom, it's an idiom related to music, we've brought some more for you to learn, you know, some more of these. So, for example, you can say that you can say the following one, like a broken record. Like a broken record.
Do you know what, Manu?
What?
Listen to what's the fact. Listen to what's the fact. Listen to what's the fact.
Oh, no, here we go again.
Listen,
you know, Argus sounds like a broken record, always talking about the same things. right? He's like a broken record.
Yeah.
All right, and actually in Spanish we've got something similar, very similar. We say, es como un disco rayado, okay? It means exactly the same, okay?
Yeah, because un disco rayado, I don't know if you remember the LP, the black ones.
Records,
yeah, I had
records.
One back at home, and cuando estaba rayado, it keeps playing like the same because it jumped a little bit.
Yep.
So that's why I think.
Yeah, the needle doesn't continue, so it goes.
Keeps jumping in the same.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
So this expression comes from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but you can also say that someone is blowing their own trumpet, okay? If you blow your own trumpet, somebody says, like, you know, well, I've got lots of titles and certificates, and I went to university. I went to the best university in the world, and then I speak six languages, and I lived in New York, and
So stop blowing your own trumpet.
Oh, come on. Right, so I was blowing my own trumpet.
Yeah. You're not humble.
Yeah, but what I said was not true. So, no, I don't have so many
Be
titles.
Humble, Manu. Be humble, please.
I try to, but I find it hard. Okay, good. So, yeah, I'll stop blowing my own trumpet.
Okay. And I really like how it sounds.
Me too. If you have a dirty mind.
Yeah. Well, then you will like this one, okay? Because you can also blow the whistle.
Yep.
Okay, about a situation, about a dangerous or troubling situation.
Manu, I think there is a fire outside.
Oh, no, maybe we should blow the whistle.
Yes, we should.
Okay, yeah. So it means like to report a crime, report a fire, report like an irregular situation that you think it's unfair, right? You can blow the whistle.
Okay. How did you call whistle here in Spain? The translation in Spanish.
Well, that would be silbato.
Hmm. Silbato. In my country, we call it pito.
Pito.
Yeah, here you say pito as well. Yeah, but pito, you know, that pito could have, like, again, sexual connotations. Yeah.
But not in my country. So
bloody Spanish language. Yeah. Everything can be sexual.
Can be used against you.
Exactly.
If you go on vacation.
So silbato is totally safe.
Okay.
Okay, good. Right, so, I think we're all looking forward to the cinema section today on What's a Fact 15. So let's talk about it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we could start, okay, by mentioning the different genres, okay, of movies, right, or films, right? So according to the style, what kind of genres can we find, Brenda?
Yeah, we can find, for example, drama. In the modern era, before the birth of cinema or television, drama came to be used within the theater as a generic term to describe a type of play that was neither a comedy nor a tragedy. For example, Schindler's List and Amadeus. I don't know if you remember this movie, Schindler's List. I think it won an Oscar.
Yeah, the Oscars, they won the Oscars.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it was about what happened in the Second World War with the Jews. And this guy, I mean, Schindler's, who saved like more than 100, I believe, I don't know, maybe. Just,
yeah.
Like last year, about a year ago, I was in Poland. I was in Krakow, and I saw the warehouse, the actual warehouse where this man was hiding the you know, the Jews. And I was, you know, that was impressive. I mean, I didn't see it inside, but it was impressive to see it. Yeah, like, you know, you feel part of a history. Yeah.
And Amadeus, this film was about the famous Mozart.
Yeah, I've seen that film.
It was a great film, and I remember I saw it when I was a little kid, and I started liking classical music because of it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film. It talks about the not so happy life that Mozart had.
Yeah,
right.
And the competitive
world.
Yeah.
Of classical music. Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, and how the conditions were back then, and you know, it's, and of course the soundtrack has to be, you know, fantastic.
It's, you know, that the director of In My Country,
is
a couple
Milos
years ago, yeah,
he's Czech.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was Czech.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, Brenna, have you got a clip of a drama movie?
Yeah. Let's please play it. It's one of my favorite movies. The Prestige. It was the director is Christopher Nolan, one of my favorite directors. So let's hear it.
Okay.
Every magic trick consists of three parts or acts. The first part is called the pledge. The magician shows you something ordinary, a deck of cards, a bird, or a man. He shows you this object. Perhaps he asks you to inspect it, to see that it isn't real. Clap yet, because making something disappear isn't enough. You have to bring it back. That's why every magic trick has a third act, the hardest part, the part we call the prestige.
Well, mysterious, deep voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Michael Caine.
Sir Michael Caine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sir Michael Caine.
I think he's...
Yeah,
he was
so, yeah.
Yeah, great actor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, Christopher Nolan used him. I don't know if you can say
in many
him.
Movies, yeah.
Yeah, for example, The Dark Knight as the butler.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right. No, sounds very good. Right. Let's put some comedy,
yeah,
you know, into the program. Okay, so Anna, you know.
Okay, so comedy is obviously a genre in which the main emphasis is on humour. And these films are designed to make the audience laugh through amusement and most often work by exaggerating characteristics for humorous effect. So maybe some... good examples, Groundhog Day. I don't know if you've seen this film.
Yeah.
I've seen this film.
I remember
so
when
funny.
I was a teenager or even a child.
Yeah. My brother really likes this film.
my friend Maria from Madrid, she loves this film.
He was so pissed off because every morning he woke up and it was the same all over again.
Yeah. And it has Bill Murray.
Yes. Yes.
The actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's obviously famous for comedy too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another example, Annie Hall. I don't think I've seen this film, but it's by Woody Allen.
Yes, of course.
From the 70s.
And also Monty Python's Life of Brian, which we talked about.
I saw this play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, there are a lot of films that have different genres all in one. So perhaps like comedy, but also maybe involve a different genre too. So maybe we can listen to a bit of one now.
Yeah, of course.
So we thought we could listen to Pulp Fiction. This is obviously a very famous film. And the comedy is more like satirical, so maybe quite dark, but it's one of those films where you laugh when you shouldn't
It's still funny, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we can listen to a bit of that. It's a clip of, I think, when they're in the car and they're talking about the differences between maybe Europe and America and the different words we use.
Little differences.
So tell me again about the hash brown.
Okay, what you want to know?
Yeah, it's just legal, man, right?
Yeah, it's legal, but it ain't 100% legal. I mean, you just can't walk into a restaurant, roll the joint, and start puffing away. I mean, they want you to smoke in your home or certain designated places.
And those are hash brown.
Yeah, it breaks down like this, okay? It's legal to buy it. It's legal to own it. And if you're the proprietor of a hash brown, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, but that doesn't matter because if you get stopped by a cop in Amsterdam, it's illegal for them to search you. I mean, that's a right the cops in Amsterdam don't have.
Oh, man, I'm going. That's all it is to it. I'm fucking going.
No, baby, you dig it the most. But you know what the funniest thing about Europe is?
What?
It's the little differences. I mean, they got the same shit over there that they got here, but it's just there. It's a little different.
Example.
All right, well, you can walk into a movie theater in Amsterdam and buy a beer. And I don't mean just like a little paper cup. I'm talking about a glass of beer. And in Paris, you can buy a beer in McDonald's. And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King. You know what they put on French fries in Holland instead of ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise. I've seen them do it, man. They fucking drown them in that shit.
Okay, we continue with the films, right? Yeah, little differences, make differences sometimes. Yeah. All right, so let's put some action. You know, Agus is an action man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always been.
Yeah. So please tell us what you know about that. Please.
Okay, action is a field genre in which the protagonist or protagonists end up in a series of challenges that typically include violence, extended fighting, physical feats, and frantic chases. We can talk about movies like Terminator Saga, Kill Bill, it's Tarantino's movie too.
Second time Tarantino comes on scene.
Yep. And 300, Spartans. So there is a lot of action there. So. We can talk about them, but I have also chosen a tip of an action movie. It's not because there are genres inside of other genres, as Anna said before, and I would also add adventure. And the one that I've chosen is an adventure movie. It's Indiana Jones. I'm sure you know them. And it's probably the Last Crusade. It's my favorite movie, probably.
Me too.
I love the dialogues because I find them so fun, so funny. And I have chosen one, you know, in when the Nazis are with the Sultan and they are asking for camels and an army. And they were offering him treasures and everything, but the Sultan wanted another thing, and it's that one.
Let's find out.
Rolls-Royce Phantom Tanks. 4.3-liter, 30 horsepower, six-cylinder engine with Stromberg downdraft carburetor can go from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 12.5 seconds. And I even like the color.
The keys are in the ignition, Your Highness.
So it's not a poo, but it's probably a cousin of him.
Yeah, but you know, and he even liked the color.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the all the ad dialogues, I think. Every dialogue in this movie.
And the great Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I think it's a very entertaining movie. Yeah. Even if you're not the type of person who likes action or adventure films, you should like this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when I was a child, for me, Indiana Jones was like a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With no powers, but intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And he
and the whip.
Yeah.
Have you seen MacGyver?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you can give him like a box of matches and he can build a weapon. So
yeah.
For me, Indiana Jones
MacGyver,
was
yeah.
something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So it's my turn now. I'm going to talk about science fiction. Lots of people love science fiction, and you know, often associated with, you know, with freaks and nerds, you know, but I think it's open to everyone, right? So this is a genre of speculative fiction, okay, typically dealing with imaginative concepts such as futuristic science and technology, space travel, time travel,
aliens.
Aliens, yeah, of course, okay. Parallel universes and extraterrestrial life, as, mm-hmm. as Brenda was saying. Science fiction often explores the potential consequences of scientific and other innovations, and it has been called a literature of ideas, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting. It's very varied, you know. Some very well-known examples would be the Star Wars saga, mm-hmm. Blade Runner, Alien, right, there's many of them, mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, I would, you know, one of my favorite films, you know, definitely on my top three, would be Jurassic Park, mm-hmm. okay, because I love dinosaurs, okay, and creatures and stuff like that, and I love Steven Spielberg as a film director, and this film is particularly well done, in my opinion, you know, considering, of course, you're not going to see any special effects here because this is the radio, but, you know, considering it was aired in 1993, you know, the special effects are remarkably, you know, perfected, sorry. Right, so I've chosen a clip from, obviously not a very visual moment, but it's an important one, okay? It's when the scientists, all the panel of scientists come into the park for the first time, and they go to the laboratory to see the dinosaur eggs, okay? And one of the eggs is being hatched, okay? It's the egg hatching moment. It's being broken, right? So, Agus, can you play that for us?
Of course.
Oh, God. Oh, perfect timing. I hope they hatched before I had to go to the boat.
Henry, why didn't you tell me? I insist on being here when they're born. Come on. Come on. Come on, little one. Come on. Come on, little one. Come on. Come on, then. Come on, then. Very good. Push. Push. Come on, then. There you are. There you are. Yeah. They imprint on the first creature they come in contact with. That effect helps them to trust me. I've been present for the birth of every little creature on this island.
Surely not the ones that have bred in the wild.
Yeah.
Actually, they can breed in the wild. Population control is one of our security precautions. There's no unauthorized breeding in Jurassic Park.
And how do you know they can't breed?
Well, because all the animals in Jurassic Park are female.
Oh.
We've engineered them that way.
Blood temperature seems like a high 80s, maybe.
Whoop. 91.
Homeothermic?
Mm-hmm.
It holds that temperature?
Yeah.
Oof. But again, how do you know they're all female? Does somebody go out in the park and pull up the dinosaur skirts?
We control their chromosomes. It's really not that difficult. All vertebrate embryos are inherently female anyway. They just require an extra hormone given at the right developmental stage to make them male. But we simply deny them that.
Deny them that?
John, the kind of control you're attempting is, it's not possible. Listen, if there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but...
Okay, so there's a very special moment in my opinion, because you know it starts the debate of whether it is all right to genetically modify beings. Okay, and because in this case in the park they genetically select female dinosaurs only, so that they cannot breed and they cannot obviously spread. So it's an important moment. By the way, a little dinosaur is being born in this clip. You know, do you know which kind of dinosaur it is?
Of course, we know, Mario. It's a Velociraptor. Velociraptor, please.
It's a Velociraptor, that's right.
He doesn't know that.
Okay, yeah, of course, sorry.
It's like when you see a chicken and a tiger, it's the same thing.
Okay, sorry then. Okay, yeah, it's that's important too, because, you know, they find out here that they also breed Velociraptors, you know, which are very, very dangerous.
Yeah, okay. Because Alan Grant was an expert on Velociraptors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, Brenda, you know, fantastic girl. Right, tell us about fantasy.
Yeah. Well, it's the type of movie that I really like. For example, in this category we have Lord of the Rings and actually Harry Potter saga. Fantasy is an action, it's a fiction genre set in an imaginary universe, often but not always without any locations, events, or people from the real world. Its roots are in oral traditions, developed into literature and drama. So, have you seen Lord of the Rings? Are you a fan?
Of course.
I have not. Okay,
oh
I must
gosh,
be really
Manu.
Very few people who has not.
No. What about Two Towers? Yeah. One of those movies?
No.
Harry Potter?
Yes, I have seen a couple of the films inside.
Hogwarts.
Yeah,
you know what Hogwarts is?
Yeah, of course.
I have a student and she went to the UK because there is a theme park.
Yeah, I think there's like the Harry Potter Studios.
Yeah.
In Oxford, is that?
Yeah, I think so.
She bought the wand, magic wand.
Yeah.
To make a spell. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not on me, but hopefully. So what else do we have, Manu?
Right. So let's continue and let's see some horror films, some horror movies. So, Anna?
Yeah, okay, so horror is a category that seeks to elicit a physiological reaction. For example, elevated heartbeat through the use of fear and shocking the audience. So this kind of genre has been inspired by literature from authors such as Edgar Allan Poe, Bram Stoker, and Mary Shelley. And these are what a lot of other films have been based on. And this kind of genre has existed for over a century. So, for example, one of Bram Stoker's films, Dracula, that was from 1897. Mm-hmm. And he was actually Irish, apparently. And also Frankenstein, again, another really famous one, and that one by Mary Shelley.
I remember a teacher once told me that Dracula was actually a love story.
Yes.
Then I saw the movie and I understood why he said that. I think it's true.
I really love this movie. It's by Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's my favorite version of it, because there are many Dracula films, you know, some of them are very, very old, but this one from the early 90s, yeah, I tend to like, you know, films from the early 90s, I don't know why. Okay, but yeah.
Winona Ryder, wasn't it?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, the old man.
Anthony Hopkins.
Keanu Reeves, yeah. A lot younger than they are now, but yeah. Okay, and so, you know, I was younger back then as well.
Me too.
All of us.
What are you talking about?
So now let's talk about romance films. I'm sure that Brenda will love this. Oh, it's my turn, Brenda. I'm so sorry.
You're so mean.
Yeah. So these are romantic love stories recorded in visual media for broadcast in theaters and on TV that focus on passion, emotion, and the affectionate romantic involvement of the main characters and the journey that they generally strong, true, and poor romantic love takes then through dating, courtship, or marriage. We can talk about movies like The Notebook that I found very difficult to translate because in Spanish is El Diario de Noah. So, Titanic. Have you watched Titanic?
Yes.
How many times?
Only once, and I didn't like it.
I can't believe you.
I watched The Notebook like 3 or 2 times, one of them with my boyfriend, and I wanted him to watch it. So I saw him cry a little bit. But Titanic, I didn't like it.
Wow. I want to say that we are four teachers, and yesterday I was preparing the program, and Diego, our boss, was there. And when I talk about the Notebook, he said that he watched this movie with his wife when she was pregnant. And
Diego, wow.
And Diego said that when the movie started, and it was like just 1 minute, her wife started to cry.
Yeah,
and
that's
he
what
said,
happened.
Oh, yeah. The war is going to come.
I think it's the first movie when I saw Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And he's a great actor. You maybe have seen him in another film such as Drive and La La Land.
Yeah.
Last year's Oscar.
Yeah.
So it's good.
And Gangsters
of New York.
No, it's not Gangsters of New York. But I can't remember. Gangster Squad.
Oh.
And there are many movies of him that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in trendy now.
Yeah.
Okay, and now that Brenda was mentioning some musical films, okay, let me talk about a couple of them, right? So musical films, okay, another genre in which songs are sung by the characters and they are interwoven into the narrative, sometimes are accompanied by dancing, okay? That's so typical of them as well, right? These songs usually advance the plot or develop the film's characters, okay? Though in some cases they serve merely as breaks in a storyline, okay? Often as elaborate production numbers, right? Which means that, you know, like the story goes on, as in any other kind of film, but, you know, at some important moments or at some descriptive, emotional moments, they would stop the rhythm and sing and dance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these dances and songs become very famous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, precisely at the beginning of the program today, we heard a song from Chicago, okay, the musical film. So that would be a very good example, for example.
Yeah.
But we also have, like, Les Miserables, which I have seen, and then Grease, okay, a classic.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
Grease, everybody knows the songs and even the dances, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are very famous films, I think. So we like, so the audience
musical
like.
And actually, musical films are winning Oscars. For example, La La Land from last year, and Moulin Rouge a couple of years ago.
Love Story.
Yeah.
It's an ancient movie, but it
with
was
Nicole Kidman, Moulin Rouge was great.
Sorry.
Can you sing? in Chicago, as you just said. Yeah.
Okay, very good. And finally, we're going to see a thriller, okay? So, Brenda?
Thrillers are characterized and defined by moods, they elect, giving viewers heightened feelings of suspense, excitement, surprise, anticipation, and anxiety. For example, The Silence of the Lambs, and LA Confidential. We're going to hear a clip from Silence of Lambs, but I would like to say that LA Confidential is one of my favorite movies, started by Kevin Spacey from House of Cards. You might have seen him in this television series. Russell Crowe and Danny DeVito, Kim Basinger. She won the Oscar for that role in that movie. So let's hear this clip from The Silence.
I must say that, you know, if L.A. Confidential is Brenda's favorite film, you know, The Silence of the Lambs is my favorite film.
Okay. Clarice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I have seen all the Hannibal Lecter's films and also read the books, the novels by Tom Harris, and I love them, you know. It's not necessarily my favorite kind of genre, but this film is for me just the best. Okay,
there's a criminal inside of you.
Yeah,
I knew.
Here comes the host of a murderer. I'm the lyrical dancer. No, nobody. Song about a murderer.
Sorry, we need to stop singing in this program, right? Okay, we need to, you know.
Okay.
All right, so, you know, the clip that we're going to listen to, okay, from The Silence of the Lambs, is when, you know, Clarice, okay, an FBI trainee, is trying to find out more about a criminal, okay, or about a criminal who's got a girl, you know, who's taking a girl, they're trying to liberate her, you know, and she is having sort of conversations with Hannibal Lecter, who is already in jail, okay, for murder, and he, apart from, well, he's a psychiatrist, but he's incredibly intelligent, okay, and they're doing this quid pro quo, as they call it in the film, okay, it's like, okay, he will tell Clarice more information about the way of acting of the criminal, but also in return, Clarice needs to tell him things about her life, her childhood, her traumas. Okay, and here's the why of the title of the film. Okay, they're going to talk about the lambs. So, Agus,
I went downstairs outside. I crept up into the barn. I was so scared to look inside, but I had to.
What did you see, Clarice? What did you see?
Lambs. They were screaming.
They were slaughtering the spring lambs?
They were screaming.
And you ran away?
No. First I tried to free them. I opened the gate to their pen, but they wouldn't run. They just stood there, confused. They wouldn't run.
And you could, and you did, didn't you?
Yes. I took one lamb and I ran away as fast as I could.
Where were you going, Clary?
I don't know. I didn't have any food, any water, and it was very cold. Very cold. I thought if I could save just one, but he was so heavy. It was so heavy.
Okay, yeah, really exciting film, you know. If you're a bit into this kind of genre, you know, I totally recommend it. Have you seen it, guys?
I've not actually seen it. Mm-hmm. I really want to know.
Yeah,
I've done it, and I really like it. All of them, because I have already watched the three movies. Mm-hmm. You told me there is a fourth one?
Yeah, there's a fourth one know about. But it's called, I can't remember the name now. Hannibal Revolution. I don't remember.
And there is also a TV series about him?
Oh, yeah. I started watching it, but I felt like, you know, Hannibal without Anthony Hopkins, and then I stopped.
No. No way.
No way. Okay. Right. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about some film awards, okay? There is a ranking here. There is a top 10 film awards given in whole world, okay? So we can mention them just briefly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for example, number 10, okay, would be The Golden Lion, okay, given at the Venice Film Festival, okay? I don't know if you've heard about them.
Yeah, of course.
Now, Anna, what would be number 9?
Number 9 is the Golden Globe.
Uh-huh.
Is the award.
Yeah, and apparently it's given in Beverly Hills, in Los Angeles. And well, last year the award for Best Picture was Moonlight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next one. Well, on position 9 as well. Okay.
No, it's not true.
No?
No.
Okay, then I just wanted to include it.
Yeah, I include the Goyas because it's not there. It's not in the list of the top 10.
Okay, and it definitely should be.
But it should be, of course.
So, well, there's no need to explain about the Goya Awards here in Spain, right? And but just to mention a quick fact, you know, like last year, the film who got the, you know, best, the greatest number of awards was Truman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With Ricardo Darín in it. Okay? Good. Now, number 8. What's number 8, August?
It's Grand Jury Prize in the Sundance Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about it, but...
Well, I just know that Robert Redford...
Founded it.
Yeah, he founded it, and, you know... But I don't know much more about it.
Yeah, but it's important, because it's number 8.
Of course. Of course. Now, what is number 7, Anna?
Number 7 is The Golden Leopard.
Uh-huh.
And this is from the Locarno International Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think I've heard.
It's in Switzerland, okay?
Okay.
So, well, you know, it's hard to believe that in such a small country, you know, they get, like, an important film festival, you know, rivaling with the United States and other big countries. Then number 6... be Film of the Year, okay, you know, European Film Awards, okay, so in the European context. Number 5 is the Filmfare Awards, okay, where they give the Golden Bear, okay, at the Berlin International Film Festival, okay. Then number 3, okay, would be the BAFTA Awards, and have you ever heard about the BAFTA Awards?
I have, obviously, because they're British. yeah, they're always on TV, and I think they're quite popular for people to watch. Uh-huh. I think this year it was Stephen Fry who presented it,
uh-huh.
The comedian, who I really like as well.
All right,
yeah.
Good. And the film that won the most awards is The Revenant.
Okay. I really like that film.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I have a question, because I think BAFTA is also about series? Or
yeah, it's for TV as well, like everything, all the different genres.
Okay.
Everything.
Uh-huh. Okay. Then on position number 2, we've got La Palme d'Or, okay, at the Cannes International Film Festival. Okay, that's very well known by everyone.
Mm-hmm. And it was like 1 or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was one
perhaps,
or 2 weeks
yeah.
ago. My mother was one of the juries.
Yeah, and actually, they, you know, one of his films won something like The Skin I Live In, with Antonio Banderas in it, like mm-hmm. La Piel Que Habito.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was very successful. Okay. And number 1, can you guess?
The Goyas?
No. Teleprograma? No, it's
Salvame Deluxe.
Yeah, that's right. So it's obviously the Oscars, okay? The Oscars. The Academy Awards, as they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what can we say about that, you know? Like, last year, the two absolute winners were Moonlight, okay, the award, the movie award, and then Emma Stone for La La Land, okay, as the main leading actress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's it.
Okay, so let's talk about the Watson. because this week there are many things that you can do. First of all, it's an intensive course called Leer y Entender la Poesía, Poesía, Historia e Ideología. You can go there from the 13th to the 14th of June. Okay, I don't know the place. I tried to find it, but if you are interested, just search on Google. And the second event you can visit is an exhibition called Faces Project, the Elvira Carrasco. You can visit it from the 12th of May to the 16th of June. And I don't really know where is it, too. Neither, sorry. And the third one...
You didn't do your homework.
Yeah, I tried, no, I'm sure, because I look every week for the Watson in Cuenca, in the cuenca.es. I'm in the City Hall webpage, and there is an agenda. And I tried to find the places and also search on Google, but I couldn't find them. So I'm so sorry.
But it's in Cuenca. It's not that big. Yeah. You'll find it.
And I think if your social life depends on me, I'm so sorry because your life is not so interesting. So sorry. Okay, the fourth. It's a festival. It's Titiri Cuenca. You know it. It's something that it's really deep in our culture.
Yep.
And it's going to be in the music hall from the 12th of May till the 18th. And I know the place is the music hall. I got to do it. To explain it again.
I was surprised to find that there is even a park called Parque Titiri Cuenca.
Yeah.
You know, not far from where you live. So, mm-hmm. You know.
And the last one nowadays is you can visit it, you can enjoy it, is El Festival Canalla. You know, many groups from the 80s are going to play here in Cuenca. It started yesterday, but it ends today. So if you want to enjoy it, go there. And it's going to be in the Bullfighting Square, in La Plaza de Toros
Ring, yep.
Ring, or I don't know, I said square because it's plaza. In La Plaza de Toros de Cuenca. So okay. That's all.
That was it. So we don't have more time for you know, for today's program. Thank you so much for being here with us. Like Brenda had to leave just 2 minutes ago. Okay, but thank you very much, Brenda. Anyway, Anna, thank you, and
that's
see you
okay.
soon.
Mm-hmm. See you soon.
Okay, and Agus.
Thank you, Manu. I'm really expecting to be here next week with you.
All right, mate. Okay, so that's it. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.